everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can be a part of it. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
It is Basic Gospel, and we do have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. Richard Piper is here with me today. I'm Bob Christopher, and we certainly welcome you your call to the broadcast. If there is a Bible passage that you would like to ask about, a problem situation that you're working through and hoping to find some biblical directive, some biblical wisdom, call right now, 844-322-2742. Yesterday, we talked about the heart of man in relationship to the horrific shooting at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I wanted to follow up with a passage of Scripture that Jesus really identifies our problem. And I think we're going to have some questions today that really dovetail with this particular passage. And it's in Matthew chapter 15. And Jesus is making a statement about the words that we say, and as those words relate to our heart. So he's connecting the mouth with the heart. Now, in verse 8 of chapter 15, it says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So Jesus had a pretty harsh indictment on the people of Israel. Mm-hmm. They were giving lip service to a coming Messiah, and yet their hearts were far away from that reality. Why? Because the coming Messiah was standing right in front of them, and they were rejecting this Jesus. And so he called the people to him and said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person." So he's talking about the words that we say. Those words can defile us. Now, that's scary, because we all say things that we shouldn't say all the time. That's just part of our culture. And it seems to be getting worse in our conversations one with another. And certainly the rhetoric we see out there in the political landscape. It's horrific, the things that people are saying one to another. It's just not reflective of a heart of love, of a heart of mercy, of a heart of grace, of a heart of forgiveness, of a heart of acceptance. So he's made that connection between what comes out of the mouth and the heart. And then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, "Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart." So the words that we say proceed from the heart. "And this defiles a person, for out of the heart come evil thoughts." So if you are having evil thoughts about somebody, what are your words going to be toward that person? They're going to be reflective of those evil thoughts. And he says, "Murder, from out of the heart come murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." So this is such an important passage for us to really understand and to really dig into a little bit. It's interesting, just a couple of passages earlier, chapters earlier, we talk about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And again, it's in reference to what we say. What were the people saying about the Holy Spirit? Well, the Pharisees were saying about the Holy Spirit that he acts in the energy of Beelzebub. that he is the devil himself.
Yeah.
That's what they were saying about the Holy Spirit. Well, where did that come from? It came from an evil heart.
Yeah.
How can you say something about the Holy Spirit that's evil when the Holy Spirit is simply coming to convict us wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment so that we can turn to Jesus and receive life everlasting? So yeah. If we're going to say something negative about the Holy Spirit, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, those words are reflective of a rebellious heart toward the truth about Jesus Christ. And that's what he's saying here as well, that only a new heart is going to be able to proclaim good words as it relates to Jesus Christ himself. I think about Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Mm-hmm. Because out of the heart flows words of truth in that particular situation. So what does God want to do with our hearts? He wants to anchor our hearts in this hope of resurrection. How does he do it? By giving us a new heart. When we're born again of the Spirit of God, we get a new heart. A new heart that is centered in the person and work of Jesus Christ, that is centered in resurrection reality.
Yes.
And once it's centered in resurrection reality, then different words can start flowing out of our mouths. Words that truly reflect what has happened on the inside. That's what the world needs, a heart transplant, a heart renewal. The gospel is the only place for that renewal to happen. We can't get it through laws. We can write all the laws we could imagine mm-hmm. possible, and it still wouldn't change the heart. It's just not going to do it. Nothing from the outside, apart from Jesus Christ himself, can reach into this human heart of ours. We need Jesus. And when we receive him, when we respond to that grace of his, then our hearts begin to reflect the truth that we believe God raised him from the dead, and our lips say, Jesus is Lord. That's good news.
Sure is.
This is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher along with Richard Pfeiffer, and we certainly welcome you and are so glad you have tuned in as well. If you have a problem situation or a scripture passage that you would like to discuss on today's program, go ahead and call right now, 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. We have a wonderful resource that we want to offer to you this month. It's called The Power of Eight, Transforming Truths Every Christian Needs to Know. And this is just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful series. It puts the whole picture of the gospel message together in such a way that you can see it. You'll just, after you finish that last CD message, I think you'll sigh a big sigh of relief saying, I finally see it. I finally get what this gospel story is all about. And you'll be so grateful that you're a part of it, that you have been added, included into the great resurrection story that is being written through this gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's available this month for a gift to Basic Gospel. So you'll be getting a valuable resource for your own personal growth, and you will be helping others get a strong foundation in the gospel of Jesus Christ as well. All the information on how you can request a copy of The Power of Eight is available on our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Go to that website, click on the big banner right in the middle of the page that says Power of Eight, and then follow all the instructions. Yeah. And we want to say in advance, thank you for standing with us in proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. Let's go to our phone lines. Richard, let's talk with Aaron, who's listening to us in Hearne, Texas. Hi, Aaron.
How are you doing today?
Doing fantastic. What's on your mind, my friend?
Yeah, I got a question today. My question is, what does it mean the scripture verse mean, Christ in you, the hope of glory? I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer. Thanks for taking my question.
Well, you're more than welcome, and thank you for asking, I think, such an important question. This passage comes from Colossians chapter 1, and in the city of Colossae at the time, they were doing much what we're doing in the world today. They're trying to blend every philosophy, every religious belief system into one single system. And they think in doing so, if I take all the good from this and all the good from this and all the good from this, and I blend it all together, then I'm going to have something far superior. Now, what they were doing in Colossae was looking at Christianity and looking at Jesus Christ as just one of the many belief systems that were out there. So they were going to take all the good from Christianity, all the good about Jesus, and put it in that blender and come up with blended religion. And it just wasn't working. So Paul, man, just wrote this letter and said, listen, guys, do you realize who Jesus is? I mean, do you really understand who Jesus is? The fact that he's the creator of this world, that he holds the preeminent position in all of creation, that his power holds this world together, that he's the head of the body, he's the firstborn. Don't you realize who this Jesus is? I mean, he can't be just reduced down to a belief system. He can't just be reduced down to another philosophy and then blended with all others. No, he stands head and shoulders above every single other human. Well, he isn't a human tradition, but every other tradition that man's mind can come up with. So we have to put aside this blended stuff and take a look at Jesus. And what is the look that we're going to take? Well, we're going to realize that in the shedding of his blood, the work that he accomplished on the cross, that he reconciled all of mankind unto God the Father. And we receive that reconciliation when we receive him. Mm-hmm. And we're lifted up and placed before God the Father as holy and blameless in his sight. That's what the work of Jesus has done and does for people. That's powerful. That's life-changing, life-altering. That's what we call a game changer.
Yeah.
No other philosophy can do that. And if you just blend Jesus in with all the others, then you rob that gospel message of its power, its purity, and its end goal. Now, not only did Jesus die for us, he was raised on that third day so that he could come and live inside of us. So his presence in us is our hope for a renewed body, for a spiritual body. So we see it in Ephesians that we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. What is that seal? It's a deposit guaranteeing our future.
Yes.
So this Jesus, this Christ in us, is our hope of glory for what happens after we die. We're going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. We are going to be with him in glory. But it also has the practical application today, that if I have any hope of positive things pouring through my life, if I have any hope of loving my brother as God in Christ has loved me, if I have any hope of forgiving others as God in Christ has forgiven me, if I have any hope of accepting others as God in Christ has accepted me, then that has to be pinned on Christ himself, on Christ in me, the hope of living out this Christian life here and now. So it has a future implication, and it has a present tense implication to it. That Christ, I died with Christ, and no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And in the life that I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So my life The way I live my life is tied to him. It's connected to him. It's by faith in him. And when that happens, I'm going to bear the fruit of his life here and now. It's kind of the vine and the branch, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. I'm sitting here thinking as you're talking about this. I mean, Jesus himself said, if anybody eats of me, he'll never go hungry. So he's saying, I am life. Well, if you take Jesus and you blend him and try to make a smoothie out of all of the world's philosophies, what you're doing is poisoning yourself. It's deadly poison. Jesus alone is life. Jesus mixed with anything else is poisonous because it can't be anything else.
Right.
Just stick with Jesus. Absolutely.
I mean, we used to talk about blending law and grace,
yeah,
and trying to mix those two. Well, when you do, you lose the purpose of both.
Yes.
You rob the grace of God of its beauty and its purity and its power and all of those sort of things. And when you do that with the law, it robs the law of its purpose and its power. And mm-hmm. it just becomes a mess. But it looks kind of nice and neat and isn't that wonderful. And it
yeah.
just becomes man's wisdom instead of truth from God.
Yeah.
So we have to recognize that. Well, we thank you for that great question, and we certainly hope that that answered it. Let's go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk with Nick, listening to us on The Word today. Hi, Nick.
What's going on, brothers?
Well, we're just sitting here in a studio talking to you, having a great time. What's on your mind?
Oh, man. So I've kind of been in a transformative period here lately, and I had a discovery at church. Pastor told us all to, and I've heard, I think maybe you guys talk about it as well, a God-shaped hole in your life.
Yes.
And, you know, for the first time in my whole life, I actually have a real raw desire to read the Bible, to be in church, to be involved in these matters. So my question is, I had what I feel was a revelation to me, or maybe a divine prophecy. I was sitting in meditation and prayer. God turned me to 1 Samuel. And I'm sorry, the other passage eludes me, but basically it said to keep preaching, to keep speaking, to keep studying. You will be mocked and ridiculed, but do it anyway. And I was kind of confused by that. That's when it led me to Samuel, where we learn about him being called out by the Lord and to answer the call. And that's kind of where I'm at now. I have a small podcast that I like to do, and I share with my friends and people at work. I'm just trying to deepen my understanding of the Word and to best answer the call that I feel Adonai is calling me to do. And that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay. Well, Nick, thank you for calling. We certainly appreciate that, and I appreciate your honesty and
yeah.
just how you're laying out what you're going through right now. It sounds like you're on the right track. You're moving in the right direction. So Nick, as far as salvation is concerned, as far as the gospel is concerned, that's a moment in time when we're born again of the Spirit. New life enters into these dead spirits of ours, and we're raised to walk in the newness of life. That's what the gospel is all about. Jesus Christ came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And the only reason that you would need life, Nick, is because you were spiritually dead. And that's that hole in the heart that's there that can only be filled by God himself through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So, Nick, do you believe that you've come to that point where you've been made alive together with Christ, that you've been born again of the Spirit?
Oh, absolutely, brother.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you're a brand new creature in Christ, a new creation. Now, what's exciting about that, Nick, is that you were once dead in sin, but now you've been made alive together with Christ, and Christ has come to live inside of you. Now, that's a permanent transaction, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's good news, isn't it?
Oh, amen to that, brother. It's a good thing for the blood sacrifice and forgiveness.
Yes. So your sins have been forgiven in Christ because you're a new creation. You have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You have been made righteous in the sight of God, declared to be righteous, imputed the very righteousness of Christ. Life has been imparted to you. You have a brand new identity. You're a child of God, a saint by calling. You have been made holy. That was one of our big deals. I mean, we were unholy. God is holy. How are we going to have a relationship?
Yeah.
Well, he isn't going to defile himself to become unholy so that he can relate to us. No, he's going to make us holy. And that's what he did through the shed blood of Christ. And then he delivered us to the goal he had in mind for each and every one of us, and that's to be made new in Christ. So there's so much to this gospel message. And now, Nick, this life that we live is a life of faith that is led by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is going to take the things of the Lord Jesus, and he is going to make them known to you, and he's going to make them real to you. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that's the exciting part of it. We constantly try to make the story about us. Even after we're saved, we try to make the story about us. What am I supposed to be doing? How am I supposed to do this? And it's all about me, 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 me. And the Holy Spirit is going to constantly remind us that this really is a story that Jesus Christ is writing in and through you. So you get to be a wonderful participant in his story. And when you're doing that, when you're walking by faith, then you, Nick, get to be the best you that you could ever be. That's when you're going to be the most you, when you're the most dependent upon Jesus. So you're going to get to know him, and you're going to get to know who you really are as well. And that's great news also, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. I was told by my Bible teacher many years to study, you know, Moses and the desert. That theme kept coming up in my life, desert, 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 alone, wandering. Before, you know, I had resources aside other than just myself, God, the Bible, to turn to. Those are all but gone. So I'm almost in a forced evolution spirit saying, no, this is between you and me now. You don't have to worry about your friends or, you know, your family or but these other people. And I don't fully understand it, but, you know, I'm willing. I'm there. I'm like, okay, I hear you, God. You and me, wilderness, let's do it. You know, I want to find that growth period. I don't want to squander this opportunity where, you know, times are hard. It's easy to grow and trust God when things are good and your finances are on point. But when everything's falling down around you, you know, that's really where that faith comes in. And
yeah, that's exactly right. And that's where you really have to come to grips with the fact that, you know, your sins are forgiven. You are righteous. You have a new identity. And that never changes regardless of the ups and downs of life's circumstances. So, Nick, thanks for the call. We certainly appreciate it. Let me put you on hold. We've got some resources we'd love to put in your hands. And just to say thanks for being on with us today. You hold the line, okay, my friend? Well, this is Basic Gospel, man. It went fast again.
It just
flies by.
Yeah, the world's spinning faster.
Yes,
or
something like that, indeed. Well, thank you for being with us. We're certainly grateful that you've allowed us to be a part of your life through this radio broadcast. Thank you for being a part of ours. We're going to be back tomorrow and do it all over again. So for Richard, for our entire Basic Gospel Ministry team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long from Dallas, Texas.